taken from Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, and I'll be using the NIV version. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's pray together. Dear Lord and Father, thank you that you promise us that where two or three are gathered, you are there in the midst. Lord, we welcome you amongst us today and celebrate the gift of life that you have lavished upon each of us. We ask that you open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Open our minds so that we may receive your eternal wisdom. Open our spirits so that we may know your leading and guiding. And open our hearts so that we may receive your wonderful love. We ask all this in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand and worship together. We're going to sing two songs. We're going to sing 10,000 Reasons and Men of Faith. Two songs that remind us to sing and shout about God's blessed holy name every day to every compass point on the earth. Let's stand and worship together.
Oh,
we're going to play the stand-up, sit-down game. Now, has anyone ever played the stand-up, sit-down game? Wally, you're nodding. That's interesting, because I just made that up. But it is a great game. It is a great game. If you are really, really tired and you don't want to stand up, you can put your hand up or you can stay seated and sit down. But basically, I'm going to call out a few statements, and if you agree with that statement, you stand up. And if you don't, you sit down. If you do stand up, you stay standing. You don't sit down again until there's a sit-down statement, and you don't stand up until there's a stand-up statement. Okay, so clear as mud. Clear as mud. So basically, I'll say a statement, and then if you agree, you stand up. I might say stand up if something. As a random example, just a statement might be something silly, something far-fetched, something that nobody would stand up for, like stand up if you got engaged in Paris recently. Something random. Oh, so I totally forgot. You need to stand up. Yeah, you do. You have to stand up. That's what. So I totally forgot. Yeah. You have to stay stand. Okay. So that I've totally forgot about that. Okay. So that was a random. The next one. Stand up if you think Arsenal are going to win the league this year. Stand up and stay standing. Yes. 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 Wow. Yes. Excellent. And a few hands. Great. So I was going to use Tottenham, but nobody would have stood up. Is Gav here? I think he is. Anyway, right, so stand up if you love chocolate. Stand up if you got some nice Christmas presents. Or put your hand up if you got some nice Christmas presents, right? Everybody should be up by now. Stand up if you have a head. So everybody should be standing, okay? Everybody should be standing. Now, sit down if you're over 25. Okay, all the experienced members, right? So yes, so if you're under 25, you should still be standing. Sit down if you're under 15, right? Or you're going to turn 15 this year. Stay standing if you're going to turn 15 this year, right? So over 25 sitting down, people 14 under sitting down. Okay, interesting, right? Sit down if you hate to travel. Good. Stay standing. Come somewhere. Sit down if you hate having fun. Zara, I saw you at the Panther rehearsal yesterday. You very much like having fun. And sit down if you hate learning about Jesus. Careful. Careful. Okay, so that was round one. Now, stay standing. That was round one of the stand-up, sit-down game. My point was not to embarrass, well, maybe it was actually to embarrass some of these people, but really what I was trying to do was, it was to highlight the requirements needed to be on an Exodus team, to be an Exodus team member or leader or co-leader. Guys, you can sit down now. Sorry for embarrassing you. So you have to be under 25, you have to be over 15, you have to love traveling, you have to love having fun, and you have to love learning about Jesus. So some of you may be thinking, why on earth is Dave suddenly talking about Exodus teams? Why is he wearing an Exodus jumper? Well, Exodus are a Christian organization whose motto is boldly following Jesus together. Exodus exists to see generations of young people following Jesus and becoming lifelong disciple makers. Chris, could you put the website up, the home screen, please? If you want to learn any more information about Exodus, you're going to learn loads today, but if you want to learn any more, you can go to exodusonline.org.uk. It's all there. Exodus mainly run Exodus teams each summer, but they also run a mentoring program. They do monthly hangouts for people or young people. They have discipleship events. They organize residentials for different groups throughout the year. They support local youth workers as they deliver the likes of Youth Alpha and other initiatives in schools. Exodus have a new initiative called Legacy that was in part set up by our very own Johnny Bell. And yesterday, some of the father figures in church heard from a guy called Andy Lamberton. Andy Lamberton works for Exodus in the Northwest. And yesterday, we had a legacy breakfast. Now, ladies, you'll be very surprised to hear that not only did the men find the cooker and the dishwasher and the coffee machine, they actually knew how to use them. And they tidied up after themselves. It was a great day. But we heard about the legacy program. All the father figures that were there heard about the legacy program. It's a program that seeks to empower fathers and father figures as they work to leave a legacy in the next generation of children and young people here in Ireland. If we were, now I'm not going to embarrass anybody else, but if we were going to embarrass, I'm in trouble with her. If we were going to play round two of the stand-up, sit-down game, I could have used it to help explain why we're talking about Exodus so much this morning. Some of you know that I have taken a career break from teaching to focus on my counselling course, but like Andy Lamberton, who was here yesterday, I am now a member of staff in Exodus. If we played another round, I would have asked questions like, stand up if you used to work in a school. That's me. Stay standing if you have a very encouraging, patient wife. That's me. Stay standing if you have a supportive, understanding principal and board of governors. Again, me. And stay standing if you thought you were maybe going to be an Amazon delivery driver this year as you did your studies, but God had other plans. Again, that was me. And then finally, I would say, stay standing, Dave, if you have seen God provide for you in ways you couldn't even imagine. That basically sums up my life journey over the past 10 or 12 months. There's much more detail to the story, and I'm happy to share that over coffee after church if you want. But it basically boils down to the fact that God is good, and he will never fail us. I'm officially the new area worker in Lisburn, and I'm involved in all those initiatives that I talked about. I'm involved in mentoring, Youth Alpha, monthly hangouts, the SOAR leadership program, and summer missions as well. And every Friday is probably, I love Friday mornings because it's our breakfast club. It's a bit of an early start, but we have homemade pancakes and hot chocolate for the children that walk, or the young people that walk past Exodus on their way to Fort Hill and Laurel Hill and Wallace and friends. So the reason I'm here is that the leadership group always encourage the staff members to inform their church family, you guys, about what they're doing. So hopefully you're a little bit up to speed. I want to invite Zara and Annabelle and Daniel up to the front because they are involved in Exodus teams this summer. Annabelle is co-leading an express team in Ireland. Daniel is co-leading an exchange team to Romania with Joe McCormick. Some of you know, come on up here, guys. Some of you know Joe McCormick from Newton Beta Baptist. And Zara here, Zara hit the absolute jackpot. Zara is co-leading an explore team to Hungary with me. And she's really, really excited about it. The guys have kindly agreed to answer a few questions to help us understand the journey of a young person through an Exodus team. So Daniel's up first. Daniel, you did an Exodus team, didn't you?
Yeah.
So what did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about life? What did you learn about God? Or what did you learn about the Bible when you last did an Exodus team?
Okay, so this year will be my fourth Exodus team I'm doing, and the second one I'm co-leading. So I've been to Romania, Czech Republic, and the Shankar Road. So what I've learned through all of the teams is that it's not about going away and to these magical places with really poverty-stricken people. Sometimes the mission's just on our doorstep, and it's the spiritual poverty that people have, not just really far away in Eastern Europe, but here in our country as well. Just that staying at home is awesome.
Yeah.
And we don't have to crazy places to serve the Lord and do mission.
Cool. So Daniel, you've done a few teams, but the one you're doing this summer is exchange.
Yeah.
So there are four types of teams you can do, and I suppose if you think the entry level team would be an explore team, that's what the team that Zara and I are doing. Explore team is for young people who are 15 plus, but it's about discovering what Christian life is all about and what, you know, what God is about, what the Bible is about. So that was kind of your entry level, maybe someone who's been into a church but is not really heavily involved. Then you have an exchange team, which again is for 15 plus, but it's about going a little bit deeper, and it just encourages the young person to go deeper in their faith. They're maybe new to faith or new to church, and they go a bit deeper. An express team, which I think, Annabelle, you're doing express team. Express team is for 17 plus, And it helps young people explore a life of ministry. How do they use their spiritual gifts? How do they get involved in their church? And then at the higher end is an Extends team. Extend team is for 18 plus. It's about becoming a disciple maker. So again, you've maybe used your gifts for a while and now you're thinking, how can I take it to the next level? That's the Extend team. So explore, exchange, express, and extend. Next question is for Zara. Zara, as you think about preparing for your team with your amazing leader, humble leader, what is your hope for the young people who might sign up for your Explore team, or what is your hope for the community that you're sent to serve in Hungary?
So as Rice was saying, our team's for 15-year-olds who are more, as the name would say, exploring their faith. So I think for me, because I've never done an Explore team, my first team was an exchange team, which was to Romania. It's just that they just grow in their faith, and they start to open the Bible and get comfortable opening the Bible and reading the Bible. And I think more importantly as well, I want them to know what fellowship is. So we do, I can't remember how many weeks, of meeting every week to do open the Bible together as a team. And I find that my favourite part of the Exodus team. So just that they learn, you know, it's not embarrassing. They can talk to their friends. They can talk to people about Christianity, about the faith and what they learn from the Bible and how we can learn from each other, and that we're all learning is something. And then also just the fun of it. Like, I love my Christian friends. I love Exodus teams. So I just think that it is fun. Like, you can have fun. It's not just, Christianity's not just about reading the Bible and following rules. Like, it actually is fun as well with your Christian friends, and just how amazing it is to go out there to Hungary, which is where we're going, and actually bring the Bible to them, and just that they grow more confident in their faith as well. And then what I want Hungary to gain would be like just a faith. Us opening the Bible with the young people out there, and them seeing these slightly older people opening the Bible and being like, you know what, that's actually pretty cool. They're opening the Bible, they're confident and telling me their story and telling me how fun it is. Maybe I'll do it too.
Cool. I've been amazed at how many people, young people and leaders, have said that actually the mission trip in the summer is the bonus. They've said that the journey, the discipleship journey, reading the Bible together, meeting together, going on a residential, is actually the really, really meaty part of it. That's the part that they enjoy most. And then the bonus is the trip away. Back to Daniel. And Daniel, what is the best bit about an Exodus team? What should a young person get excited about if they're thinking about doing an Exodus team again, or an Exodus team for the first time? What should they get excited about?
Probably the best part of an Exodus team is just like the community that you're in. Whether it's so you can do church teams and you can do teams with just a bunch of random strangers who you've never met before. So if you're doing a team with, through Exodus, you just get to meet new people and grow in your faith with these people who are also learning and making mistakes, and same with the leaders as well. And if you're doing a church team, or even just inviting your friends along to do a team as well, you know, it's a really good opportunity to grow in your friendship and deepen that like relationship that you can have with your friends through the Bible and stuff as well. And then obviously you get the privilege of going and serving Jesus for the summer. So,
yeah,
you know, yeah.
That's cool. And as Daniel's speaking there, it made me think about the young people we have in church. We have amazing young people. I know sometimes when they're maybe don't want to go to school, or they're pushing your, but you don't think they're amazing, but they are amazing young people, and they are influencers. And so I would speak to the young people and say, if there's a few of your friends, non-Christian friends maybe, or people who you think there could be a team out there for them, I would encourage you to influence them and encourage them to sign up. Last question then for Annabelle, and I suppose the reason for this question is maybe speaking more to parents and to grandparents who can influence young people. Annabelle, what sort of opportunity is this for a young person? How will they grow as a Christian? What changes should their friends and family notice as they do the team, prepare for it, and then go away?
Yeah, so you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I think it's such a good opportunity to kind of learn more about yourself on the team. Such a good place to meet Christian friends and kind of journey in your faith together with other people who are kind of in the same part of life as you are. It's such a good opportunity to push you out of your comfort zone. Like, they'll have you doing things that you never thought you could do. And it's such a good opportunity as well to bring the Bible and bring the story of Jesus to people who maybe don't know or maybe don't have as much access to it. And I think with regards to like friends and family and stuff, like, you'll see like a real boost in confidence As I said, like, they'll make you do things you never do, and like, when like your child comes home from the team, like, you can just see like there's so much energy coming from them. I think as well, like, you'll be so much more open to kind of talking about God and talking about Jesus to other people, and maybe like reaching out to other people to talk about the story. So yeah, I think just overall, like, an increase in confidence in yourself and like your ability as well.
Super. Thank you very much, guys. You're free to sit down again. I've got a short video to show you. It's the Exodus theme launch video. I'll let the video speak for itself. It's about a minute, so sit back and enjoy the video, and then I'll hopefully close with a few prayer points.
In life, it's important to try new things. Sometimes you surprise yourself and your first attempt goes really well.
First time.
On other occasions, it doesn't go so well. Rather than fear failure, it's far better when we give things a go and embrace life's adventures. Life is much better when we see opportunities, not threats. Every year, hundreds of young people join Exodus teams. They meet new people and form friendships that last a lifetime. They ask questions and explore new ideas about faith and following Jesus. They travel to new countries, serve people they've never met, and step out of their comfort zone. Every team member says yes to the adventure of new people and new opportunities.
Are you ready to try something new? Stop waiting, start exploring. Join our Exodus team in 2023. Adventure awaits.
So if you're sitting there thinking you know a young person who would be perfect for an Exodus team or is ready for an adventure, please do come and speak to me or Daniel or Annabelle or Zara after the service. And if you want any information about the teams, head over to the website. It's all there. You can click the explore box and it'll tell you all the explore teams, where they're going to meet and where they're going to go and everything. It gives you ideas about cost and stuff. So yeah, please do reach out. Before we sing our next song and the children head out, for anyone who's interested, I would love to share some prayer points and practical ways you could support maybe Exodus and the staff in the local area. As I've mentioned, Jo McCormick, some of you know Jo McCormick, she goes down to Newbury Baptist and she'll be keeping Daniel Wright in Romania this summer. Jo is the Exodus Belfast regional worker and she leads the Belfast team out of St Andrews Presbyterian down on the Rosetta Road. She highlighted a few prayer points and she would really appreciate it if we could pray about it. Jo still needs two male co-workers, one to serve in Romania and one to serve in the North Coast. They also have a big spring and summer outreach project on the horizon. It involves a Saturday pop-up at the front of Rosetta Church. Those of you who know the church has got a big grassy area at the front, and they're hoping to attract some local teenagers to that. And they also have a monthly open house. It's on the first Saturday of every month, and it's their main event to kind of reach out to anyone and everyone in the area, any young person, especially non-believers, and it's a place for them to come and just hang out and have fun from 8 to 10 o'clock on the first Saturday of every month. And finally, Exodus is a charity, so they're always grateful for donations. And if you know anyone who has a small fridge that they're not using, my team in Lisburn would be very, very grateful. We have a few issues storing all of our milk and butter and everything for the pancakes. So if you know anyone that's not using a small fridge, be really grateful. Let's conclude the first part of our service by singing another song that reminds us to tell others about God's amazing name. I'm going to jump up and down.
Thank you. Two announcements. First of all, thanks to Dave for introducing us to the world of Exodus. And I'm sure if you need more information, Dave will be more than happy to supply you with that. Thanks also to the Reverend Leslie Ann Wilson, who will be opening God's Word with us in just a moment or two. On Tuesday, this Tuesday the 10th, Tuesday break is meeting, and there will be an afternoon of stories with Nigel Hamilton at 2:15. On Wednesday, the 11th, this Wednesday at 7:30, there will be a prayer gathering, and we will be praying around the building at the start of the new year. On Friday, the 13th at 10:30, Friday Cafe is meeting, and everyone will be very welcome. Next Sunday is Communion, and we would encourage all to come to that service, when there will also be a number of new members being received into to membership. And also life groups start again next Sunday. PW meets the following Tuesday, on Tuesday the 17th, when Heather will be sharing about further adventures with God in India. And we, you're invited, the ladies are invited to come to hear how God is working there and about her work. And a very special announcement on Sunday the 22nd, that's a fortnight today, there will be a special service for John and Verita and Jonas and Marcus Timothy, who very shortly after that will be returning to Japan. It will be an opportunity to hear what they will be doing, and also to send them with our blessing and affirmation. After that service, there will be a lunch to which everyone is invited, and there is a sign-up sheet in the hub, and we would ask you, if at all possible, to sign that, just to give an indication of numbers, and particularly to indicate any allergies or intolerances, etc. And finally, to remind you about the Panto in a few weeks' time, and tickets are now available, and there will be two pretty young ladies in the hub who would be more than happy to sell you a ticket this morning. Julie Groves is going to come and read to us from God's Word, and after that we will stand to sing Speak, O Lord, and then Leslie Ann will open God's Word with us.
The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. The Lord's Prayer. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. For what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him.
Please will you pray with me for a moment. Heavenly Father, it is our desire that you would speak to us this morning. For the words prepared are but dust unless your Holy Spirit brings them to life. The fullness of life that your word is. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit will come, will touch hearts, open ears, let the scales fall from our eyes, so that we can see the beauty of your truth through Jesus Christ. Amen. In preparing for today, I took a few soundings last Sunday at the coffee bar and asked the question, how is your prayer life? If you were going to hear a sermon about prayer, what sort of things would be helpful to hear? And I think it's fair to say that prayer is something that we all struggle with. And even myself, I thought, you know, the more life goes on, the more years I have in following Jesus, the less I feel I know. And some days I feel like an absolute beginner myself. And we can all experience that, can't we? Some days our prayer life feels fulfilled and satisfying. We're firing on all cylinders. And other days it is like trudging through mud. We feel heavy in our spirit. We feel totally stuck. We feel as if our prayers are knocking against a door that is firmly shut in our faces. So it's lovely at this time of year to think a little bit about where we've journeyed from. And I, as reflecting, was so thankful because it was this Sunday last year that I did a first little short biblical storytelling as my first contribution to the ministry here in St. Phil Road. And I can give God thanks for the journey he has taken me on in this last year that I'm able to stand up here this morning and speak to you about prayer. So that is my answered prayer. But in our passage, the disciples ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. It's funny that they don't ask him how to preach. They don't ask him other questions like how to be humble, but they do ask him how to pray. And what must have been a bit galling for the King of Kings is, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. How, you know, that sort of stands out as a bit jarring to us that they would say that to the Son of God. But, you know, Jesus is so compassionate. He doesn't shoot them down. He doesn't say, what? You've been with me all this time and you still don't know how to pray? Jesus is so loving and merciful in the way he deals with us. But I think it's interesting that the disciples obviously witnessed Jesus at prayer, and they could see how powerful Jesus' relationship was with his Father, how it shaped and guided his life, and it filled him with courage and wisdom, and he knew God's scripture. And so they yearned for the same in their own lives, and they asked for help. If you watched the beautiful film at Christmas, The Boy, the Horse, the Fox and the Mole, I don't know if we've got that in the right order, but the author of that is a wonderful guy called Charlie Mackesy. And in that little book, he says, what's the bravest question you've ever asked? Help. And so this is where the disciples are at this time. And Jesus responds in a very practical way with the Lord's Prayer. And what I want to focus on first is the fact that Jesus' relationship with his Father is paramount. And he begins this prayer, Father, hallowed be your name, to make holy your name. And so before we do anything else, the first foundation of our prayer life is to contemplate on who God is as our Father in heaven and who we are as sons and daughters of a heavenly Father. Now, I could spend the rest of the time just talking about the fatherhood of God, but it needs us to say, I'm going to pause. I'm going to take time to be still and to really contemplate on who it is I'm coming before in prayer. I still have to do that myself. We have to come into God's presence and think, not my list of all the things that I need or the things that I want, but who is it? Whose presence is it that I'm coming into? God is our Father in heaven. And this concept was quite revolutionary in Jesus' day, because in the Old Testament, God is only ever spoken as a Father in relation to God's people as a whole, never in relation to individuals or to humankind generally. And Jesus had this special emphasis. He used this Aramaic word, Abba, which is also used in the Hebrew, and it simply means daddy, or the first uttering of a baby when they say dada. When I traveled out to Israel, and on the flight into Tel Aviv, there were families of Jewish people, Hasidic Jews wearing the ringlets and the black hats, and you could hear their children on the plane saying Abba, and it just was so, it just really ministered to me. I thought, oh my goodness, you know, that's, those children are calling their father Abba, and that is the relationship that Jesus had. And in fact, it permeates the Gospels because it's the most common way that Jesus uses to address his Father. Only once, when he is dying on the cross, does he cry out, oh God, why have you forsaken me? And that affirmation of the fatherhood of God is also then reinforced by Paul. In the letter to the Galatians, he talks about the sonship that we have. And in Romans 8:14, you received the spirit of sonship, and through that we cry, Abba, Father. Every word of the New Testament is in Greek, and yet suddenly there are these little short words in Aramaic, Abba. And it's almost as if every time Paul remembered Jesus and his relationship with the Father as he learnt about it, that it was so intimate and so tender that it led him into deeper prayer. Now, this comes with a caveat, because only God's children can call him Heavenly Father and have this direct relationship with him. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That is the wonderful gift that we have in Jesus Christ, because the Bible teaches us that God is not the father of everyone in a universal sense, although everyone is created in his image. But everyone is born under the wrath of God, living apart from him, outside of the love of the Father, until they choose to believe in Jesus, who claimed he was the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. And so the only way we can approach God as Father is if we know the Son. The second point is, we're very conscious in this day and age that many people struggle to view God as Father because they have not had a good earthly father. But one scholar, Dale Bruner, says the remedy for a bad father is not the removal of any father figure at all, but it is the gift of God of finally recognizing a good father. And the Lord's Prayer gives us that gift. Jesus gives us the gift of a Father who is completely good, the Father we have never had, and a tender and loving Father who cares for our every need. And that is the confidence that we have in coming into God's presence. But we're not to be over personal either. When we hallow God's name, it's to view him with reverence, with awe, that he is God Almighty, King of all nations, creator of heaven and earth, and he is also to be respected. So Jeremy Lineman, in an article, "The Lord's Prayer is Meant to be Lived," heralds the Lord's Prayer as not just a prayer, but says it's a vision for life in Christ's inbreaking kingdom. It's an acknowledgement of the injustice, hunger, and evil of this broken world. It's a wonderful statement of faith, a call to worship, a battle cry. It's a bold pleading for divine glory, for social renewal, and heaven and earth transformation. And so the Lord's Prayer is not just meant to be recited by rote day after day, but it's meant to be lived. How are we meant to live it? Well, we can only do that in the context of childlike faith and dependence. Who could go in to the bedroom of the king, wake him up, and ask for a glass of water? Who in the whole of the royal palace would dare walk into the king's bedchamber in the middle of the night, rouse him to ask for a glass of water? Only his child. And so, in contemplating the fatherhood of God, we see this pattern that Jesus gives us in the prayer. And Amy Orr Ewing summarizes it in Luke this way: petitionary prayer, personal prayer, and confessing prayer. Luke gives us a more condensed version, but Amy Orr Ewing highlights, "Your kingdom come." So, we often are afraid, aren't we, that God's will make us miserable. I know I felt that way when I was called to be a Presbyterian minister. I thought that would be the most miserable thing that I could ever do, and why on earth would God call me to do that? And it took me 7 years, actually, to receive God's transforming of my heart round to being obedient. So we're sometimes scared. Sometimes we're very happy to come with our list, but other times we're really scared because we're afraid of what God might ask us to do. But we need to come believing that our prayer is helping to bring God's kingdom to come on earth, and that Jesus' kingdom coming is a beautiful thing, that his light coming into our dark world is a thing of glory, that his hope coming in to lift us out of despair is a wonderful thing. And then we have personal prayer. Give us today our daily bread. We ask humbly for daily provision because we can't ensure our own survival and flourishing, even though we make a pretty good attempt at trying to do everything on our own strength. We need to acknowledge daily, in this culture of self-sufficiency, that unless we're connected to Jesus, who is the vine, we as branches can do nothing of his work without his power in our lives. So we don't rely on our intelligence or academic achievements. We need to depend on him for everything. Paul himself said, all his CV, his high-octane achievements as a Pharisee, he considered them as dust when he encountered Christ. And so we come in prayer to utterly depend on God for everything. And then thirdly, Amy Orr Ewing talks about confessing prayer, asking God for forgiveness for the mistakes and the way we mistreat one another, and we have to return to God again and again for our forgiveness, and also to ask him not to lead us into temptation, to pull up the ugly weeds of bitterness out of our heart. We come and we confess our sin, we confess our unbelief, we confess our struggle with the drudgery of prayer at times, and we receive his forgiveness, that beautiful gift, so that we can be transformed. But in Luke's gospel, we get a bit more. Even though the text of the prayer itself is condensed, he goes on to tell a story. And it's almost like he's giving a bit of insider information. Well, look, you know, this is the main key of kingdom prayer. But let's think a little bit more. Let's think about a story about a man at midnight. And this man has someone show up at his door wanting hospitality, and his cupboards are bare. A very common situation in the Middle East, where the temperatures are so hot during the day, travellers often departed after sunset in the cooler of the evening, and then it meant they would arrive late. They didn't have Premier Inn in those days, so people had to rely on hospitality of others in order to find somewhere to stay and get something to eat. And hospitality was an expectation of that culture. Traditionally, Western interpretation has talked about this parable in terms of us, the ones who ask for bread, who want to borrow the three loaves and nobody's answering the door, so we're keeping on persevering. So it's a call to be persistent. In the ESV version that Julie read, the word was impudent. But there's a few observations that I want to just share about this story. And the ESV is the only one that actually frames those couple of verses as a question. Which of you can imagine this? A friend comes to your house at midnight, lend me three loaves. And the man inside, oh, go away. Don't bother me. My kids are all in bed. I'm not going to get up. People lived in a one room. They had mats on the floor that they rolled out. So for the man of the house to get up, he was going to have to walk over the bodies of all his family in order to get to the door. And so Mr. A, going to Mr. B, asks for help. And Mr. B says, go away. Jesus is saying, who of you can imagine this happening? And culturally, the expected answer is, no, none of us could imagine that. That would never happen. In the Middle East, it's impossible. You would never hear anyone say, go away, I cannot get up. And there are two values deeply at work here. The first is the culture of hospitality, and the second is the avoidance of shame. Mr. A, the host, in giving hospitality, needs to give the guest far more food than he can possibly eat. That's how you show hospitality. And also, Mr. A is not just the guest of that host, but the guest of the whole village. And this man shouting out in the street, if the man sleeping in the house, doesn't get up, all the neighbours in the street are going to know that he didn't help. So shame would come upon him. We're not really used to the culture of honour and shame in the West. And it's not shame as in feeling badly about yourself, but it is shame in the sense of losing face or damaging your reputation. I actually encountered this when travelling in Japan. I couldn't get on a train without matching up the kanji script in my guidebook with the front of the train, which is quite hard to do because the trains go fast. So I would go down the platform and I learnt that I needed to ask at least 5 people because they don't want to lose shame, so they'll actually tell you anything, including the wrong thing, so that they won't lose face. So let's just say I got lost quite a lot in Japan at that time. But that is the culture of honour and shame. If you're asked a question, you will answer anything instead of losing face, rather than, it doesn't matter if they give you the wrong answer, they won't have lost face. So this honour-shame thing is central. And what it's saying to us is, when we pray, God's name is going to be honoured. And because of who God is, the Father is always going to act in ways that will honour his name. He does not want his name to be shamed. And this helps us to understand the next few verses, which is ask and seek and knock, which can be read as keep on persisting, keep on persevering. But it's not as if you have to wear God down. Those action verbs are in the present tense. It's keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Why? Because in verse 10, you're going to receive, you're going to find, the door is going to open. Receive and find are also in the present tense. And so Jesus is saying, the one who keeps on asking is receiving. The one who keeps on seeking is finding. Something is always happening. Now, we all know it doesn't always feel like that. I have been praying for the people that I put down on my list here for a very long time, and there hasn't been a huge amount of encouragement. And so that's why I wanted to ask you the question, how is your prayer life? And I was totting up how many people actually filled in cards. There's about 45 here, and most people have 2 or 3 names, so that's well over 100 people that have been prayed for since Ben asked us to do this earlier in the year. How are you getting on with that? Take a moment to turn round to the person next to you or near you and confess whether you haven't been praying or whether you have been praying. Share if you've had an encouragement, just for 1 minute. Ben asked us to pray for people who needed encouragement or those who had no faith in Christ, who are like prodigals. So let's just reflect. Okay, if I can call you back. This is really just by way of, you know, we can set the reset button. It's the start of the year. We all need fresh encouragement to pray. And I did have a little encouragement. I gave one of the people I'm praying for a gift, and it was in a box. Her and her partner don't believe. I didn't think anything of it. I gave the gift. And the next day, I met with them, and the partner said, did you put that in the box? And I said, what in the box? Did you put a card in the bottom of the box? And I said, no, what are you talking about? And he showed me, in this box, there was a business card with a little thing printed on it, and it said, if you think that there is the slightest chance that Jesus truly is the Son of God, don't you think you owe it to your family to at least check it out? this little card in a box, put in, I don't know, by the manufacturer, by somebody in the shop. And on the back, written in hand, it said John 3:16. So there I was, totally hadn't brought up anything about faith, and was able to share John 3:16 and talk about what that verse meant. That was a good encouragement to what Ben had asked us to do. And I was going to share another encouragement with you this morning, because Chris Pollock was going to come up and he was going to share a little bit of his testimony as how he was the answer to prayer. I said, that'd be great, you stand up and go, I am the answer to prayer. But in a serious sense, because of the long-suffering and faithful prayers of his grandparents, his parents, of the connection through Vibe, of the mentoring of Johnny McClune, of being part of the fellowship of this family, he is now at the coalface trying to share his faith in Christ with other young people who don't know him. What a wonderful encouragement for us as a church family. And so Luke reinforces at the end, the last verse, will not the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who are asking him? Keep on praying. Keep on. And Derek gave me an image of the persevering, what that is like. Sometimes, and I was thinking of Chris Pollock because I think of the young people in Woodlands, and it is like there's this mighty rock and you're hammering it and hammering it and you're trying to plant seeds and they're not sticking because there's no crevices in the rock even for the seeds to go. And after long, long time hammering, one day, with one strike, that rock will be blown to smithereens. And that is the power of prayer. And we need to hold on to that. How can we do it? Here are a couple of practical suggestions. Firstly, praying the scriptures. You know, when we sit down, we know the Lord's Prayer, we're so familiar with it. And we think, what is there new in that? But if you can just go to the next slide. There's a little app called Five Psalms. It's very straightforward. And the amazing thing is, where the red circle is, whatever day it is, so today is the 8th. So when I open that on the 8th, it comes up with five Psalms. 8, 38, 68, and it adds 30 on. And what it means is you go through the whole of the book of Psalms in 1 month. And it's inspired by Don Whitney's book called Praying the Scriptures, because essentially our words run out, but if we use God's word as the springboard for our faith, it can give us fresh ideas and fresh impetus and reboot our prayer lives. So he says, just flick through the five Psalms for that day. One of them will jump out at you more than the others, and use that as the springboard, and you'll find that you start getting words for things that you may not have had words for. The other option is try something different. Take a fresh approach. Think of the names that you put down here, or think of some of your neighbours. Five people for 5 minutes a day, for 5 days a week, for 5 weeks. Why not pray blessing on them? Maybe think of the five people who annoy you the most, right? Pray blessing on them and see what surprises God might have in store for you. And finally, we're prayer walking this Wednesday. Prayer walking is a great way to speak out our faith. And we're going to do that this Wednesday night at 7:30. We're going to walk around this building and we're going to pray for all the different activities and the people and the leaders and the children and the adults and everybody who does everything. And that's a really fresh way of praying. Sometimes I do that around the house. If I'm getting writer's block in the study, I go in and pray in there. If I'm struggling to cook myself a proper meal and living off KFC, I go into the kitchen, Holy Spirit, help me, inspire me with a new recipe so that I can cook something healthy. You know, there's many ways that we can refresh our prayer life. It deepens our connection with God. It deepens our joy and our inner peace. And we can share with each other, and that encourages one another as we share answers to prayer. So just remember Chris Pollock. Remember his story. And keep on knocking on heaven's door. And there's a little verse that comes in the next chapter of Luke where it says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom." That is the assurance that we have in prayer. We do not need to be afraid. When we are children of God in Christ Jesus, the Father's desire is to give us the kingdom. And now Neil is going to come and lead us in our prayers.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, your name is holy. There's so much that we could pray, God. Help us not to overthink it. Help us just to come to you in prayer. Thank you that even though you are our holy God, you're the perfect, powerful creator of everything. You are Abba. You're our Father, our Dad, who makes time to listen each time we pray and who cares about all we have to say, whether we say it out loud, whether we say it quietly in our heads, whether we plan it, whether we just cry out. Thank you that you listen to us, whether we have a strong relationship with you and pray to you lots, or whether we don't normally talk to you, and if we maybe feel like we don't know where to start. We thank you for the leadership in our church, God. We pray for Ben and all his work in planning and preparing all that he does in our congregation. We thank you too for the leadership that he's giving Beaver at this time. We pray for everything that he's had to say for the people there. And we pray you would continue to give him energy, inspiration, encouragement, and vision as he leads two congregations from week to week. And we thank you for how blessed we are here in this congregation, God, to have those like Leslie Ann and Dave who have been able to teach us and to lead us even when Ben is busy elsewhere. We thank you for all that we have heard about this morning from Dave as he talked to us about his time in Exodus and for the work that he's doing in Lisburn. We thank you for how you have given him a clear vision this year, given him a clear plan for how you want to use him. We pray too for Annabelle, Zara and Daniel for their work in different areas at home and abroad with Exodus this summer, with young people at different ages and stages of their faith. We thank you for their boldness in getting involved and stepping outside their comfort zones to share their faith with others and help faith grow in the young people they'll be working with. As we think of the involvement of some in our own congregation with Exodus, we thank you too for the wider work of Exodus. We thank you for Jo McCormick and her team in Belfast. We pray for those points that Dave mentioned earlier, for more help for her with the work in Romania and on the North Coast, for the work that she leads in Rosetta on Saturdays. We pray to you for funding to help them continue to do that. We thank you for Andy Lamberton and his work through Exodus in the Legacy Program that he was speaking to some of the men here about yesterday morning. Help us in this congregation to continue to grow as we try to follow that example of fatherhood that you give us through your word. We pray too for Chris and his work in this area through Dream Scheme. We thank you that he is an answer to prayer. We pray for guidance for him and others working in the Four Winds area in identifying what the young people here need. We pray for resilience for him. Help him to enjoy the work, the challenging work there. Continue to give him energy as he works with the young people and gets to know their situations. And we pray for those young people dealing with difficult situations, whether it's trying to stay out of trouble in school, trying not to get mixed up with their own crowd. Help Chris speak into those lives. And God, we thank you for the reminder we've had from Leslie Ann to ask, seek, and knock. For the promise in your word that everyone who asks receives, that everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door is open to them. Help us keep that focus as we pray for others. Whether we remember that bit that Ben did whether we remember putting a name on a board a few months back or not, God. We pray that you'll give us all encouragement to pray specifically for other people who don't know you. Help us persevere in those prayers. And think quietly of some of those names of people just now, God. We thank you for the encouragement of stories like Chris's, where someone has been faithfully prayed for by others over a number of years and is now ministering and encouraging and leading others. Help us be people who ask, seek, and knock with our prayers for others and persevere in doing so. And finally, God, we pray for those people who are unwell. We thank you for answered prayers for Johnny Bell over the past week or so as he's got back out of hospital. We pray for Chris, who isn't able to join us this morning because he's unwell. And we pray too for Moni, who's off with flu at the minute. As we pray for Johnny, Chris, and Moni, we also pray for others that other names that we know about as a wider congregation here. Maybe people here in hospital, people who have recently got out, people who are unwell at home. We pray for recovery, for increasing strength and energy for them. We pray for other people who struggle with some aspect of their life, whether their mental or physical health or some other worries. Thank you for people who care for those, whether it's people in the NHS, other carers, paid and unpaid. God, help us as a church know how to look after each other in those practical ways. And we pray that as we do that, others would see how we look after each other, how we care for each other as a church family, and that they would see you through that. God, take all these prayers and do with them as you will. Thank you for listening to us and help us trust in your plans. Amen. Just as we come towards the end of our service, we're going to stand again and sing. We're going to sing, "My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness."
As we close, Remember those words, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom." So keep on persevering and praying, because God will not allow his name to be shamed. And let's close with the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.